So we have a very shaky foundation, okay? Because the entire book, okay, let's come back to Romans. Entire book of Romans is built on this 11 verses. It's a launching pad so that we will have confidence before God. That's our legal position. Imputed righteousness. As a result, we can walk out the fullness of righteousness. That's our legal condition. Imparted righteousness. Got it? Can? Easy? Okay, actually it's easy. Okay. I'm going to explain to you, okay, some terms, because the entire passage is filled with legal terms, with legal language. Justification? I've got to pronounce it correctly. If not, Annabelle will cringe. Okay, just joking. Propitiation. Redemption. Free. These are all legal terms. Because I said earlier, the issue of salvation is not the issue of love, because God loved. God loved even the worst of the worst sinner. But he cannot pardon, he cannot forgive any man unless the sin is paid. That's why last week I explained what is justice, what is mercy, what is grace. The issue of salvation is not love. The issue of salvation is justice. Justice. I write down one whole list. Okay, I'm going to read through. Okay, yeah. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. But man is sinful. Amen? If God is holy, God is righteous, sin will hinder us from having a relationship with God because he's holy. So he's stuck. Next, if God is just, he has to punish sin. It's a legal issue. It's an issue about justice. If God is just, he has to punish sin. He cannot overlook sin. See, overlook sin, you know, sometimes we just, yeah, chin chai la, whatever, never mind. That is not just. That's not righteous. There's no standard. You understand what I'm talking about? That's a unique situation right now about this salvation situation. God cannot overlook sin because he's just. But there's an issue right now. Man is sinful. That means he has to punish man. Then there's another aspect. Yet he is infinitely kind. He's infinitely merciful. He's infinitely gracious. He will have to provide a way out for mankind. Okay? But man can never make it. He has to provide a man. And the only way is he has to give us righteousness. But he cannot give us righteousness without upholding justice. And because of that, Jesus has to come. That innocent one become guilty. So that the guilty one can become innocent. It's the issue about justice. Not the issue about love. Okay. And at the cross, this one is all legal term. At the cross, what happened? At the cross, there is the legal exchange. Our debt is fully paid. That means we are saved from the wrath of God. We are saved from eternal punishment. That's Romans 5, verse 1. Let's turn to Romans 5. Okay, Romans 5. At the cross, that is the legal exchange. Our debt is fully paid. Our debt is fully paid. That's why, in a way, the way sometimes we preach the gospel technically is not correct in the way we present it. We always present it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That is not the best. Because it's not the issue of love. It's the issue of justice. It's the issue of justice. Okay, Romans 5, verse 1. At the cross, there is the legal exchange. Everything that I owe God is 100% forever paid by the blood of Jesus. And because of that, there is the change of position. There is the change of relationship. I've changed from being the enemy of God to become His friend. More than become His friend, I'm changed from the enemy of God to become His son. There is a great exchange at the cross. Something radically refashioned within our spirit. Something changed. Something changed. Let's read Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, another legal term, justified. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have now what? Peace with God. This is not talking about you feeling peace, no serene, no turbulence, you're calm. No, we're talking about now we are no longer enemy with God. We are peace with God through what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 8 to 10 was so clear. Highlight it clearly. Verse 8 said this: but God demonstrate His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, because we are incapable of saving ourselves. What happened? Jesus died for us. Because He died for us on the cross, there's a shedding of blood. There is that change. There's that legal exchange of position. Verse 9. Much more than having now justified, because the blood is shed, justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Talking about this saved by His life, here is emphasized about we will have victory over the power of sin. So at the cross, there is that legal exchange. Okay? That because salvation and the cross, I say, is the legal solution. Let's go to Romans 3. Tell me the Romans 3, verse 21. Romans 3, verse 21. It's about offering of the righteousness of God to all man, fasten your seatbelt. Okay, I'm going to blow. No, I'm going to blow. Not. I'm not going to blow your mind away. The verse is going to blow your mind away. Okay, fasten your seatbelt. Okay, hold on to your seat. Okay, the verse said this. Circle the word now. Now, the righteousness of God. Underline the righteousness of God. Now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Got it? I'm going to finish the whole verse. I'm going to break it down because this is a stunning and the staggering truth. Because what it means is God is offering us His righteousness. You know why? You see, now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, because there's only two options of getting the righteousness of God. One is by law. That means you have to live it out. No one can. No one can. So God now give another option. The righteousness that He's offering unto us. Now is a key word. You know why now? It means now, not in the future. Right now is available anytime for anyone who call upon the name of Jesus and repent. Okay. Now the righteousness, actually better translation, the righteousness from God. God is offering His righteousness to us by grace, through faith in Christ. Why? Apart from the law. Because the previous option is you've got to live out the fullness of the requirement of the law. There's another option. No one can make it. Paul already unpacked it in Romans 1, verse 18, all the way to Romans 3, verse 20. That's why Paul now says, now I give you a good news. Okay? There's the righteousness now of God apart from the law. That means we don't have to earn it. Because if we have to go by the law requirement, it's about us earning it. No one can make it. No one. This is huge because it's free. Okay, now fasten your seatbelt. Okay, I'm going to read this. I'm not going to tell it because I cannot take it too. Okay. The righteousness of God is offered to us, isn't it? Amen? Amen? Hear this. Hear this. You know, it's what kind of righteousness? What kind of the quality of righteousness? You know what Romans 3 verse 21 means? That means God is making available to us the very righteousness of God. The very quality of God's righteousness is now given to us in our spirit. We possess, imputed, the very righteousness of God. Okay, I know you're going to offend some of us. I'm going to say this. God is no more righteous than the righteousness that is imputed to us. Wow. You understand what I'm talking about? Wow, your heart doesn't move. Either my teaching is really bad or your heart is really hardened. No, I'm just kidding. No, maybe it doesn't cross our mind. What are you talking about? The moment you receive Jesus, the Bible said he imputed to you the righteousness, isn't it? You know that quality of righteousness that is imputed in you? That means in your spirit. It's the very quality of the righteousness of God. God, I know I say this, people may call me cow if they don't get it correctly. God's righteousness is no more righteous than the righteousness that is given to us. Understand what I'm talking about? Does it blow your mind? Wow. It blew my mind. It's in the spirit. Because I share salvation is three stages. Spirit, it's called justification. So, sanctification. That means we have to walk it out. Okay, which I will unpack next 2 weeks. And the last one is body. It's called glorification. When Jesus come back, we are all raptured or resurrected if you are dead. And you are given the new body. So right now in you and me, if we are in Christ, we are imputed the very righteousness of God. Wow. Unbelievable. And you know that this righteousness cannot be improved because it's the righteousness of God. It's about you walking it out. And the verse says what? It's given to us free, 100%, instant, now. That means right now, in me, there's the 100% righteousness of God because it's imputed righteousness. Get what I'm talking about? I know. The first thing that comes to mind, man, too good to be true. But it is true. It is true. Wow. Wow. Take a minute to digest this. Take a minute to let this sink in. Y'all don't seem to move. You know, maybe I fail. Okay. The righteousness of God is imputed to you and me. The very quality of God's righteousness is imputed. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let me unpack a little bit more so that it, but I feel sinful, I struggle with sin and so on. That's where we need to understand there are two expressions of God's righteousness. One is imputed. Imputed. Okay, that means it's given to us. Imputed. God declare us righteous 100%. Okay, see, imputed righteousness, God did not make us righteous. He declare us righteous. That means in our spirit, okay, in our spirit, we are 100% righteous. We are. Okay, but our soul and our body is still capable of sinning. Because that's where we need to walk out. It's called imparted righteousness. Okay? Understand? That's where we need to understand justification, sanctification, glorification. But the key is this now, 100% that is imputed in me. Wow. Okay? Are you all confused? I hope you are not. Okay? Okay? So the key is we are 100% declared righteous. Okay. Our spirit right now, because of that, our spirit right now comes alive instantly. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. Quickly. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5. Verse 17 said this. Therefore, if anyone, okay, if anyone, irregardless of your conditions, not talking about physical condition, talking about your moral condition, your sinful condition, and so on. If anyone is in Christ, remember I said just now, human being is either in Christ or in Adam. In Christ, that means everything about Jesus is given to us. If anyone is in Christ, what is the promise? He is a new creation. Not your soul yet, not your body. Because your soul and body still need to walk out the imputed righteousness, called the imparted righteousness. But in your spirit, something radically changed. Or we can use the word refashion. It comes alive right now because God's spirit and our spirit join as one. It comes alive as instantly 100% become righteous. But our soul and our body is still capable of sinning, which I'm going to explain next week. That's why we need to learn more and more to be led by the spirit than led by the soul. Led by the soul is called soulish. Or Paul said carnality. Or led by the body, that's called flesh. You see, by and large, human being, we are led by the soul and we led by the body. That's why we live fleshly or with carnality. But the key for Christian is we need to learn to be led by the Spirit. There's the Spirit that's within you. The Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit. That's what imputed unto us. 100% righteous. We have to walk it out. That's why I say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Something radically changed. That's why Paul, turn to me, turn back to Romans 6. Turn to Romans 6. Romans 6. Paul said this in verse 11. Paul said this in verse 11. Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. Paul said, you're no longer with a sinful nature, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our spirit no longer have that sinful nature. It's our soul and our flesh. That's why we need to learn to walk in the Spirit, called the renewal of our mind. And as we walk it out more and more, we will be transformed from glory to glory. That's what it is about. But the key is this. Verse 21 said this, now the righteousness of God is revealed. God is given unto us the very righteousness that is imputed in us. 100%. 100%. Okay. I know people ask, so why there is this difference between imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness? Okay. God give us the imputed righteousness so that we can walk out the imparted righteousness. Remember I say Romans 16 is built on Romans 17. We can't walk out the power and victory from, we can't walk out from the power of sin until we receive the imputed righteousness. God give us the imputed righteousness so that we can walk out the imparted righteousness. It's not for us to walk freedom from sin and claim grace and so on. No, he's given us the imputed righteousness so that we are confident before God. Every time we are in weakness or struggle with sin, Hebrews 4:16 says what? I come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and ask for grace in time of help. Because I have the imputed righteousness, God will not condemn me. God will not judge me. I come before Him as a son. I cry out, Abba, Father, show me mercy and grace so that I can walk out victorious. That's the difference. God gives us the imputed righteousness so that we can walk out imparted righteousness. Not given us the freedom and the license to sin. If our understanding of grace is now we are free to do anything, we can sin all we want, we don't understand justice, we don't understand mercy, we don't understand grace. And when you know that there is the power within you to walk like Jesus, what will you do? What will you do? You mean you don't want to walk like Jesus? Okay, give me all your grace. Unfortunately, I can't. Okay. No, we will walk it out. That is the key. Imparted righteousness. Imputed righteousness. Okay. The main point is to walk out. Why God imputes the righteousness is so that we can be empowered to be imparted, to walk in righteousness, not to live in sin and claim grace. No, it's to propel us. I give you the illustration. Wow, so confusing. This imputed righteousness, imparted righteousness. Just give you a very simple illustration. Okay, it's a simple illustration about imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. Then we go back to verse 22. Okay, what's the difference? Imputed righteousness is like someone who is born. If the father is Singapore. No, father is Singapore. No, someone is born to the parents of Singaporean in Singapore. Naturally, he become what? Singaporean, imputed. But this baby not necessarily patriotic or love Singapore. In fact, this baby may curse Singapore and so on. Where the baby may break the rule, but he doesn't lose his citizenship unless he renounce it. He will grow in loving Singapore, hopefully, with all the education and so on. So now you understand the difference. This is a very simple illustration between imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. That means you are born with that citizenship. But you may not love the nation. You may not be proud of the nations. But as you begin to walk, you begin to experience, you begin to be educated, you begin to grow in patriotism, you become more and more like Singaporean. And you speak with the la and the le and whatever. Okay, understand? So that's a different imputed. That means we are suddenly, immediately, instantly become the children of God with all the power within. No, it's the same. If a kid has a passport of Singapore, it's very powerful, you know. Have you ever flipped the last page of the passport of Singapore? The government of Singapore will protect whoever hold this passport. Say, man. Yeah, just that Singapore Army maybe not so strong compared to US. I'm just giving that illustration. Yeah, imputed righteousness. But you need to walk out so that you will understand. Okay, let's go to next verse. Next verse, I'm going to unpack. Okay, now I'm going to give you some outline. Wow, goodness, I got 20 minutes to unpack. Okay. Romans 3, verse 21 to 31. Romans 3. First, I'm going to go quick, okay? I call this the greatest statement in the scripture concerning salvation by grace. That's the 11 verses. Verse 21 to verse 24, okay? Just write down the outline so that if I go quick, you still can understand. Verse 21 to 24. Basically, it talks about the only way of salvation. There's only one way to salvation. God has to offer His righteousness. Okay, that's verse 21 to verse 24. Verse 25 to verse 31. I give you the main theme, then I break it down for you. Verse 25 to verse 31. The characteristic of salvation by grace. The characteristic of salvation by grace. Got it? Okay, verse 25, verse 26. Verse 25, verse 26. It has to be consistent with God's character and nature. He's just. He cannot overlook sin. There must be another way. Okay. It has to be consistent with God's nature. Verse 27, I will respond. If you truly understand grace, I'll end with this. I'll respond. Verse 28 to verse 30 is make available to all. It's make available to all. Verse 31. It fulfills the requirement of the law and the prophet. Paul ends the chapter by saying, because there are some questions that pops up, say, oh, because of grace right now, law is irrelevant. Paul said, no, certainly not. In fact, law is being upheld because of grace. I explain to you later if I have time. If not, maybe another time. Because in fact, this is a summary of the entire Romans chapter 7 where Paul is trying to explain what this law is about. Okay, let's go to verse 21. I'm going to slowly unpack, okay? Now the righteousness of God, underline the word righteousness of God. I'm going to highlight a few terms. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, which I explained earlier, so I'm going to go quick. I'm not going to talk about this, okay? Basically, it's about God offering his righteousness, okay? There's only two options. One is we have to earn it by living out and fulfilling every legal requirement of the law, where Paul said, no man can make it. That's where another way God has provided. That's why Paul said, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. God is offering us his righteousness through by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. The very quality. You know why? It has to be the very quality of God. No one is spared without the very quality of God's righteousness. Not 99.999%. You still will be judged. If you're only 99.99999% righteousness of God, it's not good enough. It's like God give us the very quality of the righteousness that he possesses. Wow. Cannot be improved upon. What is required is for us to walk it out. That's why people know, I always say this, Christian faith is not living outside in. Christian faith is living inside out. Jesus said what? Out of your belly shall flow streams of living water, because it's in you. You have to learn to walk it out. I know, people get confused. They ask me, so Kichong, how? Come Holy Spirit, up, down. I say, just whatever posture. But the key is that it's in you. Colossians 1 verse 27 says, but Christ in you, the hope of glory, is from inside out because the righteousness has been offered. Next, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Being witnessed by the, this is important because there are some people wrongly believe that the Old Testament people were saved by works. No, it's not true. Everybody, no one, but that is always God's plan. It's always God's idea to provide that way of salvation. Even the Old Testament and prophet points to that. Is not contrary. There's a difference between Old Testament people and the New Testament people. Old Testament people look forward to the cross. New Testament people, we look backward to the cross because the whole entire Bible promised that a Messiah has to come. A Lamb has to come. There's no other way. So when some people believe that, oh yeah, Old Testament people, they saved by works. No one saved by works. They are looking forward. That's why when you read Romans 3, ends with this. Some saved by faith. Some saved through faith. You know why saved by faith? Saved by faith is because they are looking forward. Abraham is saved by faith. They are looking forward. We are saved through faith because we are looking backward. But it's still the same. It's witnessed by the Old Testament, witnessed by the law and the prophet. Okay, it's not new idea. is always consistent to the heart of God. There's only one way, okay? Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God, that means offering of God's righteousness, through faith in Jesus Christ. It has to be in Jesus. There is no other way. No one can achieve it or attain it bypassing Jesus. No one. It has to be through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. That means both Jews and Gentiles. That's why nowadays there are people who teach us that Jewish people does not need salvation through Christ. Read the whole book of Romans. If that's what we preach to the Jewish people, we are doing them a great disfavor. The Gentiles need salvation through Jesus. So is the Jew. Read Romans 10. There's no distinction. Both Jew or the Gentile have to call upon the name of Jesus before they are saved. The scripture is very clear. If we preachers or teachers that Jewish people, they automatically go to eternity, we are doing them a great disfavor. That's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, Paul makes it very clear. He says, certainly not. There's no distinction. All Jew or Gentile has to be through faith in Jesus. That's what it is about. Through faith in Jesus to all and on all who believe. But there is no difference. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, no difference. Whether you are religious or perverse, no difference. Whether you are moral or immoral, no difference. Because all have fallen short of the glory of God. That's where Paul took Romans 1 to prove the fact. Whether you are Jews or Gentile, no one is capable. No one can attain it. So we got to get this right, especially right now. God is causing the awakening of the Jewish people. If we tell them that, oh, you're automatically saved, we are doing them a great disfavor. In fact, great disfavor is an understatement. We are inviting them to go to eternal punishment. That's why we got to get it right, okay? For there's no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now I'm going to unpack another one. Being justified freely. We're going to break being justified and freely into two parts. Being justified, that means we are given the legal positions. God declare us righteous. As if, hear me out, as if we have never sinned. Wow. Legal position. Accepted, no guilt. No judgment. The crescendo is Romans 8, verse 1. In Christ, there is no condemnation. I tell you, when that gets into our heart, you will not just not boast. You will worship. Because as if we have never sinned. That's what it means by justify. You are declared righteous. You are declared righteous. 100%. Not make righteous. You are declared righteous. Freely. You know why freely? That means it's free. Full. 100%. Instant. If anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. Do you know we are a new creation? You see, unfortunately, sometimes we don't even know because it's in the spirit. We need to let it come out. That's where we need to walk. That's what Paul talks about in Romans 8 and Galatians 5. We are justified freely. That means free, full, 100%, instant. It does not leak. Anointing leak. Righteousness is imputed forever. It's in us unless we deny Jesus. Amen. Man, you know, today I can stand before God with confidence and trembling. Because I am justified freely. Don't get proud, okay? If you get proud, then you don't really understand what this means. Let's go further, okay? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. You know why redemption? Redemption is a very important word because it's another legal term. It's a Greek legal term. What it means is that during those times, a person who is unable to pay his debt, he will be in prison, become slaves. Okay. Unless there's someone who come and pay his debt. That's called redemption. That's what Jesus did for us. He redeemed us. So that the innocent one became the guilty one. The guilty one became innocent. That's what it is about. Okay, let's go to verse 25. I'm going to read quickly. Okay, I'm going to explain this big word. Whom God set forth as a propitiation. Underline the word. Okay, if you can't pronounce properly, it's fine. I can't pronounce properly too. Okay. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. This is important because remember I said this. God is just. God is righteous. He cannot overlook sin. Something has to be done to meet that requirement. Okay, the word propitiation technically actually means atonement. Okay, what it means is that it's to make a peace. Someone who is angry, not happy. Okay, the right way to say this is not make a peace so that make happy someone is angry. The right way to define propitiation is this: a sacrifice to satisfy God's claim of justice. Got it? A sacrifice to satisfy God's claim of justice. There's nothing that we can do to satisfy God's claim of justice. Nothing we can do. There's only one way. What's the way? Jesus come to be crucified, shed His blood so that it will cover our sin. Replace, there is a legal exchange of position. That's why you need to understand during the Day of Atonement what the Jewish people What they do is that they will take two goats. I always think of the one being slain as the poor one. Okay, there's this ritual which is called propitiation or the Day of Atonement. Okay, they'll take two goats. Okay, one will be slain, will be killed, and the blood will be drawn off that goat to pour out on the mercy seat and so on. It's like the blood that will cover all the sin of the nation of Israel. So that one goat is being slain. What they're going to do is this. The next is that the priest will take the blood and then put on the hand and lay on the head of the goat that is still alive and imputed all the sin of the nation of Israel upon that goat and let the goat run out into the wilderness. It's like the putting away of sin. That's where we have this term called scapegoat. Scapegoat. In itself, it's called propitiation. Jesus has become the scapegoat. Not just that He shed the blood that paid for our sins. The blood was taken to take away every of our sin. And our sin is being carried away. That is propitiation. Sacrifice to satisfy God's claims of justice. There's no two way about it. Because if God bypass it, then He is not just. Okay, that's why this verse, okay, verse 26 say this. Verse 26. Let me just run. Let me go back to verse 25. Because in his forbearance, these minus and this underline the word forbearance. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sin that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time. No, let me just read it one more time. I get panicked because 9:30 already. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sin that were previously committed. You know what this means? Because in the Old Testament time, the Messiah has not come. Yet there is the legal requirement of blood that is being shed. That's where God came out of the system. Sacrificial lamb, as well as goat and so on. But all this cannot take away all the sin of man. It's only temporarily. It's like, inverted comma, the down payment. What happened is this. That's why it's called forbearance. God can't like restrain for a season. What happened is this. All the Old Testament saints, when they die, where do you think they go to? Because they can't go to heaven. Because the debt, the sin has not been paid yet. I'm talking about Old Testament. When they die, they go to this place called, how do you pronounce it? S-H-O-E-L. Sheol. Sheol has three chambers. One chamber for the righteous. That's why the Jewish people say when they die, they sleep because they all go to the first chamber for the righteous. So because of the blood of the lamb that is being sacrificed, but it's only temporarily. Of course, there's a second chamber for the unrighteous. And then there's a third chamber that's for demons. God forbear because of that. But when Jesus died, he went down to, what's the place called? Same place. Now he had paid the sin. This is my own words. Like, he didn't say that to them. Say, guys, come on, get up right now. That's why when Jesus died, resurrected, the tomb opened, all the saints was taken up with him to heaven. Because there's the forbearance, there's the temporary bypass, God restrained. But that's what the book of Hebrews talks about. The sacrifices of lamb, cow, goats is not sufficient. It's only for a season. When Jesus comes, say, now I pay the full debt. Okay, and then my mind is that. Imagine Jesus changed his mind halfway. No, that's not going to happen. The rest will, oh God! No, I'm just kidding. Okay. But that's true. That's what it means. Okay. Now you understand? It's only for a season. That's why you talk about that. That was previously committed. Now's the next one. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Do you know why? Why just? Just is because he cannot overlook sin. He has to do it in the just way. And he cannot break his law. If not, he will be unrighteous. He has to do it 100% righteous and just without suspending his justice. God met it. He justified by sending his son to the cross. He justified. Why justifier? Justifier because justice was satisfied when Jesus died on the cross. That's what, let me just read quickly. Now it's 9:30. Let me read, finish. Okay, let me, verse 26. To demonstrate the present time his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Verse 27, Paul said this, where is boasting? Where is boasting? It is excluded by what law? By of works? No. But by the law of faith, is in faith. That's why there's no boasting. Paul used the word law 4 or 5 times in the book of Romans, okay? In different places, he means certain things. Again, I'll explain to you as we go down the road. But the key is this. If you truly understand, you will not boast. Do you know that in eternity, when we are seeing one another, we're seeing the lamb that was slain, we will still not boast. We will be full of gratitude. Do you know why we feel full of gratitude? There's no way we can make it there. But simply because of the sacrificial lamb. That's why we will not boast. The moment we boast about our salvation, we don't understand mercy. We don't understand grace. We don't understand justice. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 2 says what? Salvation is by grace, not by works, so that no one can boast. There is no boasting. We will not boast. We will be full of gratitude. Say, I'm here. Simply because of the lamb that was slain. The only thing I can do is to say, Jesus, you are worthy. You know why he is worthy? Because he paid the full price. He had purchased us. And when we understand that, what Paul says is really true. Our life is really what? Not our own. Because we are being purchased. When we refuse to give more to God, simply shows that we don't understand justice, mercy, grace. Because we are being, remember I said the word redeemed? We are being redeemed. That's what Paul said in verse 6. We used to be slave to bondage and sin. Now we are slave to Jesus and righteousness. Thank God we are more than slave. We are his bride. Where is boasting? There's no boasting. That's what Paul said in Romans 12 verse 1 says what? In view of God's mercy, what do? Offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Thank God it's a living sacrifice, not a dead one. We can be still alive. Because he saved us. Redemption. Where is boasting? Where is boasting? Let me finish this. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we concluded that a man, Paul now is making a conclusion, we concluded that a man is justified by faith. Apart from the deeds of the law, there's no other way. Simply no other way. Verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentile? Yes, of the Gentile also. Simply, if we believe by grace through faith. Verse 29, verse 30. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and uncircumcised through faith. And with verse 31. Going to do quick. Now Paul is answering another question where he fully developed in chapter 7. Do we then make void the law through faith? Basically, there are people say, oh, right now because of grace, law is no longer irrelevant. We don't have to obey the law and so on. Paul says what? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law or we uphold the law. He's talking about three aspects. One is God, one is Jesus, one is us. Why uphold the law? God himself has to fulfill, no, God himself, God the Father himself has to obey the legal requirement of the law. It's called justice. He cannot overlook sin. He has to uphold the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. He fulfilled every requirement of the sin requirement. He paid for us. How about ourselves? We have to live out the legal requirement because of grace. That's Romans 6, 7, and 8. Amen.